morning, church. We welcome you this morning to the Lord's NAS online worship service. We're glad that you're here with us. Whether you're a regular attender or a first-time listener, we invite you to worship. The lyrics for all the music and the scripture and a place for making notes for the sermon are in your listening guide that you can download. So we hope you'll join right in where you are. This is an eventful weekend. Yesterday, of course, was Halloween, All Hallows Eve. I don't know if there was much trick-or-treating going on, given the weather and the COVID-19 situation, but yesterday was also Reformation Day. That's the day in the Protestant tradition that we commemorate Martin Luther's nailing his 95 theses to the door of the chapel at Wittenberg. And today, of course, is All Saints Day, and tomorrow is All Souls Day. But today is also a very special day because we have the first of November's three special speakers with us, and we'll introduce him to you in just a little bit.
We have fantastic news. After 48 days, Jeff Austin is home. Jeff was able to go home last Wednesday, and we praise God for the miraculous recovery he's made so far. Let's continue to pray for complete healing for Jeff and for his family during this time. There are so many struggling with health issues at this time. Thank you for continuing to pray and for reaching out to those in need during this difficult time. We'd like to tell you about a new way that Largs NAS is reaching out to the community. Now, many of you know that we are working closely with the Largs Food Bank to help provide fresh meals every week. A couple of months ago, we created a program called Takeaway Homemade that takes things to the next level. Each week, we are putting together meal kits that include everything needed to make a meal, a homemade meal. And now this is typically using items that one would receive in their food parcel. Now, the kit includes a recipe card with instructions, ingredients, and even cooking tins where they're needed. Well, this week we launched a Facebook page for Takeaway Homemade with a cooking demo for this week's kit. Our goal is to include a video each week with each new recipe. The vision of this program is to encourage folks to cook at home and also to help reduce food waste. But it's also an exciting way to connect the community with Largs NAS and let them know that we love them and that God loves them. So thank you to all of you who've donated, cooked, prayed, and supported the hospitality ministry of Largs NAS. You are making a difference in so many lives right here in our community. Let's pray this morning. United in the company of all the faithful, let us pray for the church throughout the world and for all who seek to follow Christ in this generation. Through them and through us, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let us pray for the world and all its peoples. Let us pray that those in authority in this and all nations may seek justice and peace for all. Let us pray for those in need and for all who minister to those in need. Draw near to all with your healing love. Remember in your mercy all who have gone before us, especially those who were significant in each of our faith journeys. Join our prayers with those of the whole company of saints. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord of the church, hear our prayer and make us one in heart and mind to serve you now and always. Amen.
Mm-hmm. grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Dark is the stain that we cannot hide. What can avail to wash it away? Love, there is flowing a crimson tide. Whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
You are in for a treat this morning. Our message is going to be brought to us by Reverend David Gallimore, the lead pastor at Midland Valley Community Church of the Nazarene in Clearwater, South Carolina. And today, unlike other Sundays, you have the option of watching the video of Reverend Gallimore's sermon. Pastor David was kind enough to send us the video so that you can stay with us here and listen to the audio of the rest of the service, or if you'd like to see the video, you can look in the description on this webpage where you would normally see download listening guide and download sermon transcript. But today, instead of download sermon transcript, you'll see click here to watch the sermon video. And if you click there, it'll take you to the video, not just of the sermon, but of the rest of the service. So you don't have to come back here after the sermon. You can just watch it to the end. So if you want to do that, go ahead and do that now, and you'll hear the rest of the service on the video, or you can stay here with us now. We are so excited about this morning's guest speaker, Reverend David Gallimore. I think he's one of the best preachers in the Church of the Nazarene today, and I know that I always learn something about how to preach from him. I consider him a mentor and a role model, and I know that you're going to be blessed by his message today. Reverend Gallimore and his wife, Tammy, spent the first 20 years of their ministry as pastors, and then they spent the next 15 years in full-time evangelism. Pastor David has held hundreds, maybe more than that, of meetings and revivals in America and Africa and Europe and the Caribbean.
But in March of 2019, Reverend Gallimore accepted the call to become the lead pastor of Midland Valley Community Church of the Nazarene in South Carolina. That, of course, is the church that Pastor Steve and I attended before we moved to Scotland and where my family has worshiped for generations. My grandparents were charter members, and Steve's dad was the pastor there for many, many years in the 1980s. We may be biased, but we think it's the best church in the United States. And so it makes sense that Pastor Gallimore is speaking in the best church in the United Kingdom today.
So we're grateful to have the privilege of hearing Reverend Gallimore this morning, and we welcome him and invite you to really lean in as he shares the gospel with us.
Good morning. Greetings in the strong name of Jesus. This is Pastor Dave Gallimore, Midland Valley Community Church of the Nazarene, all the way over in South Carolina, United States of America, greeting you, and just a pleasure, a thrill to be able to connect with the Lord's Church of the Nazarene in Scotland. We kind of consider you our sister church over here because your pastors, and you have wonderful leaders, and Pastor Steve and Pastor Tasha, this is their home base. This is their church. And so we pray for you, and it's an honor to be able to speak into you today and minister to you today. And we just, as I said, kind of consider you our sister congregation. And we were really looking forward, maybe in the spring of next year, taking a work and witness trip and coming over to see you and get to meet you in person. And, of course, this COVID-19 virus has changed all kinds of calendars and schedules, so we're just going to have to wait and see. But it's a joy to be able to bring the word to you today, and we just are excited to be able to share God's word with you. Once you get your Bibles, the scripture lesson is going to come from Mark chapter 11, verse 11. And this is the day that Jesus triumphantly entered the city of Jerusalem. It's the beginning of what we now call the Passion Week. We celebrate it here as Palm Sunday. That is the setting for this story to take place. But as we pick it up, Mark chapter 11, verse 11, it's headed towards the evening. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Let's say a prayer. Heavenly Father, as we would get into this word today, I pray this word would come alive inside of us. And I pray that you would have a message for all of us today. It's been a difficult year. It's been a hard year because of this virus and many other things that we're dealing with in this global culture today. And I just pray that you would encourage the church today. I pray that you would literally stretch our faith today. Remind us in this message that without faith it is impossible to please God. And we will forever give you the praise for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone in agreement say, amen. There's a proven principle in life that goes something like this. Whatever you're expecting to receive goes a long way in determining how you live, how you act, how you think. Whatever you're expecting to receive, whatever you're expecting to get out of something, actually goes a long way in determining how much you put into something. I can use a worship service as an example of this. When you're finally able to come back together in person and attend church, a worship service. Maybe you've had a hard week, a bad week, you're tired, but you decide, I'm going to go to church anyway. But the mindset is, I probably won't get much out of this service. You know what? If that's how we come in expecting, we're probably not going to get much out of the service. But on the other hand, if we come into a worship setting, if we come into a church service and our cup is turned up right, ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, ready to hear from heaven, we're probably going to get something out of that service. Whatever we expect to receive will go a long way in determining how we live, how we think, how we act. Now, there's a classic illustration of this. I know right here in America and most places around the world it's the same. You don't have any trouble getting little children out of bed on Christmas morning. Why? They're expecting to receive something. I mean, they've been counting the days until Christmas morning. They've been dreaming about what's in those bright colored packages under that Christmas tree. You don't have any trouble getting little children out of bed on Christmas morning. I mean, little children get parents out of bed on Christmas morning because they are motivated. They know they're going to get something. Whatever we're expecting to receive goes a long way in determining how we then live, how we then think, how we act. But now stay with that scenario. Get past Christmas morning. Get past New Year's Day here in the States. Get back to first morning back to school. Same children, but the expectation level now is a little different, isn't it? Now you're probably going to have to tell them 3 or 4 times, you got to get up, you got to get out of bed, you got to get dressed, you got to go to school. Whatever you're expecting to receive is going to go a long way in determining how you live, what your attitude is going to be like, how you think, how you act. So now I want us to take that proven principle in life and plug it into this scripture. And as we go through this one more time, it's going to be interesting. You're probably going to come away with this idea, Jesus is having a bad day. Now I don't know if Messiah is even capable of having a bad day. But I know you and I know what it's like to have a bad day every now and then. As we go through this and apply this principle, you're going to find yourself thinking Jesus is expecting to get something and he's not getting it. So let's go through with that principle in mind. And before we do it, let me ask you a question today. What is the greatest need in your life today? What would be the biggest burden in your life this morning? What would be even the impossibility, maybe, in your home, your family, your life? Something you've prayed for, something maybe you've even given up on, and you're saying it's not fair. Why do I have to go through this? What's your greatest need today? Keep that in mind as we go through this, and hopefully when we get to the end, we'll all be on the same page. Remember, it's the day that Jesus triumphantly enters the city. Palm branches are waving. Hosanna to the highest is being shouted. We would say today they were having quite a praise and worship celebration. That was the morning. But now we pick up the story as we head towards evening. Mark chapter 11 and verse 11. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around everything, but since it was already late, what's that all about? I mean, he obviously goes to the temple to find something. He's expecting something. Well, he doesn't get it. It's almost like had a great service on Sunday morning, came back on Sunday night, the lights were off. He came looking for something, didn't find it, so he left. He went out to Bethany with the 12. Verse 12, the next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Now, this is a beautiful depiction of Jesus as the God-man. You know how this works. The incarnation, Jesus is fully God and fully man. I heard an old preacher got a little mixed up here one time. He was preaching away and he said when Jesus walked on this earth, he was half and half. Well, we know better than that, don't we? He was not half man and half God. He was 100% man, 100% God. And here we see a beautiful depiction of Jesus as a man when the scripture says Jesus was hungry. So now verse 13, seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. He's looking for something. He's expecting something. But when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. What's going on? Is Jesus having a bad day? He's looking for something. He's not finding it. Well, you know what Jesus does. He curses the fig tree. May no one ever eat fruit from you again. Be honest in here this morning. Wouldn't you love to have that kind of power? When you don't get what you'd like to be getting out of life, may no one ever. And the scripture says his disciples heard him say it. So what's going on? Is Jesus having a bad day? He's looking for something. He's not finding it. Well, let's read a little further in the text. Verse 15. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. You remember this story. He overturned the tables of the money changers. The benches of those selling doves would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. I mean, doors are slammed. Tables are being turned upside down. Kind of sounds like a church business meeting, amen? Now we're just having a little fun with that, but what's going on here? Is Jesus having a bad day? Let's go one more verse. If he's not having a bad day, this would give him a bad day. Verse 18. The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard about all this and began looking for a way to kill him. So what's going on? Is Jesus having a bad day? He's looking for something. He's obviously not finding it. Well, here comes the transition of the text. And in just a little while, we're going to find the answer to the question, is Jesus having a bad day? But the transition of the text comes here at verse 19 into verse 20. When evening came, they went out of the city, verse 20, in the morning. So let me just teach a little life lesson here. Sometimes when you're trying to make a major decision in life, the best thing you can do is just sleep on it. Deal with it in the morning. The worst time to make a major decision in your life is when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're stressed. So let's learn from this. When evening came, they went out of the city, verse 20, in the morning. As they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Now, I'm going to confess something to you here today. I remember as a boy growing up in church and hearing this story of the fig tree being preached, or even the Bible lesson being read to me by my mom, my dad, when I was just a child. And honestly, even into the early days of my preaching ministry, when I would come to this story of the fig tree, I would find myself feeling sorry for the fig tree. And my thought process was, it's not the fig tree's fault. The scripture clearly says it was not the season for figs. Jesus had to know that. In that day and time, that part of the world, there were two crops of figs. One was in June, and one was in late August, early September. This story is happening in April. This is Passover week. Jesus has to know this. And yet he still curses the fig tree. And I remember thinking, it's not the fig tree's fault. And I kind of think Simon Peter was thinking the same thing. Don't you love Simon Peter in Scripture? We can all relate to this guy. I mean, not only his high, glorious moments, but his low, foot-in-mouth moments where he kind of says stuff before he really thinks about it. So let's pick up the story. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Verse 21, Peter remembered and said, if Peter's thinking it, he's going to say it. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, The fig tree you cursed has withered. And I think what Peter is really saying to Jesus is, Master, are you gonna fix it? Now right here, plug back in that question I asked you a few moments ago. What's the greatest need in your life today? Your home, your family. What's even the impossibility? What's the thing that's happened to you that's not fair? And you've prayed, you've asked God to intervene, and Master, are you ever gonna fix it? Get ready. We're gonna get the answer to this question. Is Jesus having a bad day? Verse 22. Have faith in God. Jesus answered. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this, see, I think it ought to say fig tree. But Jesus never mentions the fig tree again. Now someone get ready to grab hold of this today. If anyone says to this mountain, I hope you're getting this, would you stretch in your faith with me today? This is a faith-building message. We've been through a rough year. Maybe you have gone through a tough time, but could you get your eyes off the problem today and get your eyes to the possibilities of what God can do with our problems? If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. So here's the answer to the question today. Jesus is not having a bad day. He's just using life's circumstances to teach us a lesson. And here it is. Expect fruit that's even out of season. Learn to expect fruit that's even out of season. Now to get this, we have to grow up in our faith. Too many times as Christians, we grow old in Christ without ever growing up in Christ. And to get this, when we're talking about difficult situations in life, crisis, when we're talking about tragic events that unfortunately knock on the door of all of our homes and families, we've got to learn to expect fruit that's even out of season. Learn to expect even the unexpected. Now this passage in Mark chapter 11 dealing with fig tree is one that Bible scholars call a difficult passage. There's a lot of different interpretations on the message of the fig tree in leaf, no fruit. Most of them having to deal with, it's a picture of the temple worship. It looked good on the outside, the leaves, but on the inside there was no fruit. It was empty. And that seems to be the most popular interpretation of this text. But let's stay right with the context. Jesus is teaching a lesson on faith. Have faith in God. He never mentions the fig tree again, but he begins to talk about us stretching in our belief, not doubting. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I think too many times as Christians, we live way beneath our privilege when it comes to this idea of faith. And truly trusting God, all things are possible. What's the greatest need in your life, your home, your family today? I want you to stretch with me. I happen to love the game of golf. And of course, you live in the birthplace of the game of golf. And I do want to come and see you and meet you in person, but when I come, I do want to play golf. And here's a story some of you might be familiar with, at least in name, Arnold Palmer. Back in the day, one of the greatest golfers of all time. And in his prime, Arnold Palmer was invited by the king of Saudi Arabia to fly across an ocean and spend the week with the king of Saudi Arabia, teaching him how to play the game of golf. And so Arnold Palmer flies to Saudi Arabia. Every morning that week, he gave the king one-on-one golf lessons. Every afternoon, they played around the golf together. Get to the end of the week, and the king of Saudi Arabia says to Arnold Palmer, "Thank you for coming." He said, "I really appreciate it. So much so," he said, "I'm going to send you a golf club." Arnold Palmer's flying back home to America, and he's thinking, "I gave up a week of my life. With the king of Saudi Arabia, he's going to thank me for coming by sending me a golf club? What do I need with a golf club? I have hundreds of golf clubs." Well, Arnold Palmer got back home in America a few days later and certified mail received the deed to a 500-acre golf club in Saudi Arabia. Now see, sometimes we're thinking golf club and God's thinking golf club. I want you to stretch with me today in your faith. We serve a God who specializes in the impossible. Learn even to expect fruit that is out of season. Now, let me give you one more verse. Verse 24. Therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to find out what it's there for. And it's therefore to connect what he just said to what he's about to say. It's a bridge word. It's a hinge word. So, therefore, because of this, learn to expect fruit that's even out season. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Therefore, I tell you, someone received this today, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, did you catch the tense of that writing? Believe that you have received. It's done. And you will, future tense, it will, future tense, be yours. So now that's the message I'm going to give you this morning. Learn to expect fruit that's even out of season. What's the greatest need? In your life, your home, your family. Ask in prayer, believing, not doubting. Claim it, I have received it, it's done, and it will be yours. That's stretching in our expectation. That's stretching in our faith. Now again, that's the message, and I could probably stop it right there, but let me just give you a couple of quick illustrations of how it applies. Let me give you the application, the practical application. What does it mean, Luke, for you and I in 2020? This year that has been a year unlike any other. What does it mean for you and I to expect fruit that's even out of season? Well, how about this? When the doctor, unfortunately, has to look at you or a family member and says, "I'm sorry. We've done everything we can." I'll never forget, several years ago, in pastoral ministry, standing outside the neonatal intensive care unit, the hospital, when the doctor used those very words with a young family, young mom and dad. "I'm sorry, we've done everything we can do." A little baby boy that had been born premature, only weighed a couple pounds, you could hold him right there in the palm of your hand. And this little boy had been born with a hole in his heart. And they did all kinds of surgeries and all kinds of procedures. And it was just amazing what all they tried and what all they attempted to do. And yet they reached this moment where with tears, that doctor, that physician tells this mom, this dad, "I'm sorry. We've done everything we can do." Well, our church, this young mom and dad were members of our church family. We'd already been praying for them, but when we got this news, we went into a time of intense prayer and fasting. I mean, I know some things come only by prayer and by fasting. And I'm glad I can tell you here today, one of the greatest joys of my ministry down through the years was about a year later, standing at the front of our beautiful sanctuary, holding that little baby in my arms, healthy and whole, dedicating him unto Almighty God. Now, do you get the point? Even when the doctor says we've done everything we can do, but God is able. Learn to expect fruit that's even out of season. Now, I want to preach this with credibility, because I know there are preachers here in America, we call them health, wealth, and prosperity preachers, that kind of indicate if there's anything wrong in your life, there must be some sin in your life. That's not what the Word of God says. My Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us through that sickness, through that infirmity. I had the privilege of preaching in a very large camp meeting a few years back. And in the first service, probably 5,000-6,000 people in attendance. And I saw a lady sitting in the center section. And she stood out because a young lady she was, and her head was as bald could be, to the point it was shiny. And I'll never forget, she had a black t-shirt on with big, bold, white letters that said, "Bald is beautiful." Next morning, I got up to preach at that camp meeting. There she was again, same center section. This time, she had a bright blue neon wig on that was spiked in every direction you could imagine. And I said to myself, I got to meet that lady. Something's going on with her. Well, I met Nikki after the service that morning, 34 years old, terminal cancer. And yet she looked at me with a smile that could only come from God. And she said, "Pastor," she said, "cancer is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me." And I said, "What are you talking about? Cancer is horrible." "No," she said, "you have to understand, due to sin and rebellion in my life, I've gotten away from God." She said, "I lost my marriage." She said, "I even lost custody of my own children." But she said, "when I was diagnosed with cancer," she said, "I got back in church." She said, I got back into right relationship with God. And she said, "I've actually got my family back together. I've got my kids. I've got my marriage." She said, "because of cancer, preacher," she said, "I'm going to heaven." Now see, the world don't understand that. And I'm telling you, you can expect fruit that's even out of season in this life, because we can expect fruit that's even out of this world. The best is yet to come. So I want to preach this with credibility today. Whatever you ask God for, understand we leave it in His hands. And Father knows best. And to the Christian, to the saint of God, even death becomes ultimate healing. What does it mean to expect fruit that's even out of season? Let me tell you this story that I just want to pray with you. Many years ago here in the States, Indianapolis First Church of the Nazarene was pastored by a guy named Bill Griffin, Dr. Bill Griffin. And Bill Griffin was just a little man as far as physical stature, but oh, did he have faith. And he told me one time the greatest demonstration of faith he'd ever seen in over 50 years of ministry happened several years ago. Many of the Nazarene churches and even other evangelical churches came together in the city of Indianapolis for a citywide crusade. And they were going to have services Monday through Friday. And they announced, as they met in one of the great Civic Center's auditoriums, on Monday night, the first night, they announced that on Friday night, the last night, they were going to have a healing service. Now, Bill Griffin, the preacher, said after that service was over on Monday night, he was down front walking around talking to people like preachers do. When he said he felt a tug on his suit coat jacket, and he turned and looked, and there was a little boy with a bent, crippled foot, special brace, and shoe crutches. But he said that little boy was smiling as he looked up at the preacher. And he said, "Preacher, on Friday night, you're going to pray, aren't you? God's going to heal me." Bill Griffin said he patted the little boy on the head and said, "That's right, son. You come Friday night, we're going to pray. God's going to heal you. Tuesday night, after the service was over, it happened again. Little boy came to the front, preacher, you're going to pray for me on Friday night, aren't you? God's going to heal me. That's right, son. You come back on Friday night, we're going to pray. God's going to heal you. Wednesday night, here comes the little boy again, and now the preacher, Bill Griffin, said, my faith began to waver. He said, I started thinking, what if God doesn't heal this little boy's foot? It'll crush him because he's expecting it. Friday night comes. Biggest crowd they've had all week. And when they invited people to come and be anointed, prayed for, as the Bible instructs we can do, there were so many people that came, the lines were so long, it got late. And by the time that little boy got to the front, even a lot of the pastors had already went home. Bill Griffin said that little boy was smiling bigger than ever. And he said, tonight's the night, preacher. He said, you're going to pray for me. God's going to heal me. And Bill Griffin said, I began to pray over that little boy. He said, I prayed the prayer of faith like the scripture says we can do. I anointed him with oil. And he said, I prayed more intently for that little boy than I prayed for anybody that night. And he said, I prayed longer for that little boy than anybody I prayed for that night. In fact, he said, I just kept on praying because, he said, I didn't want to open my eyes. He said, I was afraid I'd open my eyes and the first thing I'd see was that little boy's bent and crippled foot. Well, the preacher, Bill Griffin, said, I finally had to close my prayer. And I finally did open my eyes. And sure enough, first thing I saw was that bent and crippled foot. Bill Griffin said, when I made eye contact with the little guy, he wasn't upset. And said, now he was kind of getting turned around and sat down on the altar and was starting to fool with that special brace and that shoe. And he said, preacher, he said, go over there and get that box. And Bill Griffin said, what are you talking about? And he said, over there on the front row, he said, go get that box. Bill Griffin said he went over on the front row and picked up a box and he brought it back and handed it to the little boy and he said, what is this? And the little boy said, I went to the shoe store today. He said, I'm going to have shoes like all my other friends now. And Bill Griffin said the greatest demonstration of faith he'd ever seen in 50 years of ministry was when that little boy took off that special shoe and brace. And he reached into that box and he pulled out that new shoe and started to put it on. He said, I saw that foot made whole. Now you say, preacher, you really believe a story like that? You better believe I believe a story like that. Because we serve the God who specializes in the impossible. We serve the God who says in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, I am he that was alive, dead, now alive forevermore. And because I live, you can live. What's a bent and crooked foot for a God who specializes in resurrection? I want you to stretch in your faith with me today. Be encouraged. We serve the God of resurrection power. I'll tell you this and I'm done. I love what Bill Griffin, that preacher, said about that whole night, later reflecting on. He said, you know what really happened that night? It was like that little boy prayed for rain. And then he showed up with his umbrella. He was expecting it. Heavenly Father, I pray your richest blessing on our friends today at the Large Church of the Nazarene in Scotland. We're brother and sister in Christ. And Father, I know on this side, it's been a difficult year, and I can assume that it's been a trying year there as well. And yet I want each and every one that has listened to this word today to apply it. What's the greatest need in our homes, our families? What's the greatest need in my life today? And then, Lord, I'm going to stretch in my faith. Learn to expect fruit that's even out of season. And God, I'm just believing you're going to have great days ahead. I believe that you are going to be a chain breaker, a way maker in the days to come. I pray that there will be many prayers answered. I pray that when the church gathers back together in person again, there are going to be days of Elijah, days of Ezekiel, days of revival. And Father, we'll forever give you the praise. Bless Pastor Steve. Bless Pastor Tasha as they lead this wonderful group of people. We're all in it together. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on us. As we plant, as we sow, as we water, as we cultivate, would you give great increase? It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you, church. I'm looking forward to seeing you one day. If we don't see you in this realm, we're going to see you in the eternal. So God bless you. We love you.
Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who wooed them while he dwelt below. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust, you never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointed grief and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet at last. In you I rest, in you I found my hope, in you I trust, you never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. In you I rest. In you I found my hope. In you I trust. You never let me go. I place my life within your hands alone. Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul.
And now may the God of all good gifts, who has released in us the spirit of new life and generous living, send us on our way to love and serve to his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Praise God from whom blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Father, Son.